You're listening to On the Record Online with Eric Schwartzman, where reporters and journalists go on the record about how they use the internet to cover the news. For the latest trends, tips, and tactics on how the web shapes popular opinion, subscribe to our RSS news feed or visit us online at www.ipressroom.com.
David Satterfield, managing editor of the San Jose Mercury News, goes on the record about the challenges posed by the internet to the daily newspaper industry and the importance of maintaining high-quality online media centers on corporate websites.
Having a top-quality website is sort of crucial these days for companies. We look for everything from, historical financial information, biographies of key executives, photographs of key executives, logos, photos of products. There are just a lot of things companies can put on their websites that make our jobs easier.
We'll be back. Stay with us.
Don't be left behind. Get the latest online PR tools and services from iPressroom. Powerful, easy to use, available on demand. Extend your sphere of influence online with iPressroom, tools for online media centers, virtual private press rooms, RSS news feeds, podcasts, and more at www.ipressroom.com. iPressroom, always on, even when you're off.
We are speaking with David Satterfield. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who oversees the San Jose Mercury News as managing editor. It is ranked as one of the top 10 newspapers in the country by the Columbia Journalism Review. I am pleased to have him with me on this podcast.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
So you preside as managing editor over a very important paper in Silicon Valley at a time when the way we consume media and entertainment is changing. How is that affecting your coverage and the decisions you're making to cover the business of technology specifically?
Well, I would say it's really affecting us in two big ways. The first way is that we are now in a 24-hour news cycle like we have never been in a 24-hour news cycle. You can wake up in the morning and you can get the latest news off of Google or Yahoo or CBS.com or CNN whatever is your favorite website. So what we have had to do is we have had to really get right on top of our website to make our website a 24-hour website. For instance, we have a reporter who comes in at 7 o'clock in the morning right now, and his sole job is to file to our website breaking news. When a news story happens in technology, our business staff is trained to get it on the web before they do anything else. We still will come out with a printed product, but we're trying to get the latest news on the web. So that's how it's affected us one way. The second way it's affected us is because we live in a 24-hour news cycle now, we assume, particularly in an area as technologically savvy as Silicon Valley, that if a big story happens at 9 o'clock in the morning, there is a very good chance these days that no matter how big that story, unless, of course, it's the Pope dying or something that large, that there's a very good chance it won't be on the front page of the Mercury News the next day because we know everybody's seen it. So we're out there looking for the stories that we know people are not going to be able to find elsewhere. The things that we can uniquely bring our readers. And because we're right here in the heart of Silicon Valley, we think we have a particular knowledge and expertise in technology. So you will see more, I think, technology stories appear on the front page of the Mercury News because it's not the sort of commodity news, as we call it, that you can get everywhere else.
So I saw recently a story that said the AP had begun moving colorful leads in an attempt to paint the opening paragraph of their stories with more emotion. And the optional leads are only available to daily print newspaper members. So my question is this a viable way for the AP to differentiate their coverage, or are they threatening their own credibility by blurring the lines between fact and opinion?
No, I think, I think what this is an effort by the AP to do is sort of the second part of the question, the second part of the answer I just gave. AP realizes that if a story's been out there all day, the straight AP lead, so-and-so was shot in, some incident, is no longer going to work. They have to move that story forward by crafting a more colorful lead, giving readers something that they didn't see on the evening news or that they didn't read on Google or Yahoo last night. And that's what they're really trying to do. Whether it works, I'm not quite sure, but
I want to drill into tactics for a minute, because you've been in this business long enough to have a broad perspective, having been a journalist prior to the rise of the internet. And what I'm interested in is, in your days as a journalist, how was it prior to the internet that you decided what you would cover and what you wouldn't cover?
Well, I think before the internet, you really covered a beat, so you had a lot of leeway in what you decided to do. You'd go to the courthouse and pull lawsuits. You'd go to City Hall and attend meetings. You'd listen to the police scanner and try to cover whatever event came up. You would watch the PR News Wire or Business Wire and see what company put out a press release. I think you did it in the more traditional sense then. I would say it was far more time-consuming than it is today.
Why? I mean, why has it changed? How has the internet changed that scenario you just described?
It's just made so much more information available at your fingertips so quickly. I mean, just to give you an example, when I was a reporter for my first job, I worked in a small paper in Central Florida. If I needed a stock quote at the end of the day, I called a local broker, and I said, "What did such and such close at?" Because we didn't have a ticker machine. Now with the internet, I can find out a stock price any time of day. I can see what the volume is. I can pull the history of the stock quote. I mean, the internet has just given us so much information, and there's tremendous benefit in that. There's a little bit of danger in that. There's all this information out there, and we're not sure which of it is completely accurate and which of it isn't. So you still, as a reporter, need to do your double checking, but the internet has given us just so much information.
Well, now that you have so much information, and I imagine so many people competing for your attention on a daily basis, how do you decide what information to pay attention to? Or let's break it down even more didactic than that. How do you decide which emails to read?
Well, I think it's getting a little bit easier to determine quickly what's spam and what's not spam. So you don't read anything that is spam. I'm an aggressive manager of my email, so I take a quick glance at everything and get rid of it if I don't think it's something that's essential for doing the job. In terms of the newspaper, we really are increasingly leaning toward local, toward a story you won't find anywhere else, something that's entertaining, something you haven't seen. I mean, I think that's where we have realized that the true value that we as a local newspaper bring is we have reporters out there on the street, reporters who are out there who cover Silicon Valley, and we need to sort of leverage that and get more of those stories on the front page to show our readers, hey, here's the stuff you're not going to find anywhere else.
And of course, because some of the most important technology companies in the world happen to be local companies, that gives your paper a national interest.
Oh, absolutely.
So my question is, if you receive a press release or an email pitch that is of some interest, what's the first action that you take?
Well, the first action is that the reporter and editor will talk about whether they think this is a a press release that is of importance to our readers. I mean, if it's Intel or Hewlett-Packard or Sun or Applied Materials and it's their earnings, we know that people care about that. If it's a new product announcement, it depends on the quality of the product. If it's we won a contract over another company, odds are we wouldn't do that because if we did that, that's all we'd be doing. You know, if it's a personnel change, it depends on how big a personnel change it is. But it's really a conversation between the reporter and the editor. And the things that matter are the size of the company. We care about the biggest companies in the Valley. We care deeply about sort of the brand name companies, the Yahoos, the Apples, the Googles. And then, you know, after that, we sort of have to sort and see is the news event big enough that it really merits being in our pages. The problem with having a business section in Silicon Valley is there is so much news every day with 300 some odd public companies, and so we really have to use a lot of judgment in what we write about and what we don't.
And do you ever visit the company's online newsroom to look for information? And if so, what do you expect to find there?
Oh, sure. In fact, having a top-quality website is sort of crucial these days for companies. We look for everything from, historical financial information, biographies of key executives, photographs of key executives, logos, photos of products. There are just a lot of things companies can put on their websites that make our jobs easier. And believe me, reporters rely very heavily on company websites these days.
If an organization is receiving a good deal of praise on the blogosphere, does that impact your perception of the company?
No, I don't think it would impact our perception. If a company's suddenly getting a lot of buzz, it's something we certainly ought to pay attention to and find out why there is that buzz out there. The blogosphere is getting more and more interesting with the recent, the situation with Apple Computer and the news about, advanced news of some product announcements. It's something we have to pay more attention to, but I wouldn't say it's gotten to a level yet where we're sort of preoccupied with it.
Well, just in follow-up to the Apple comment that you made, I mean, we're beginning to see the difficulties with respect to defining who is a journalist in the age of the blog. And for those of you that don't know, Apple recently sued three bloggers for posting what Apple said were trade secrets. So my question for you would be, when it comes to protecting sources, should bloggers enjoy the same legal privilege as mainstream journalists when it comes to protecting the identities of their sources?
It's a very tough issue. I think I would come down on the side of the bloggers. You're going to get very different quality levels of bloggers, and it would be interesting. I think there is a level at which a certain blog can be considered journalism, and where that level is, I'm not exactly sure. It's almost like the Supreme Court ruling on pornography. You know it when you see it. I think it's similarly that way with journalism and blogs.
Thank you for taking the time to speak with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to On the Record Online with Eric Schwartzman, where reporters and journalists go on the record about how they use the web to cover the news. For the latest trends, tips, and tactics on how the web impacts corporate reputations, subscribe to our RSS news feed or visit us online at www.ipressroom.com.